Please keep standing. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. Very powerful scripture. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. And it shall stand forever. Listen, we belong to a kingdom that is invincible. The one who died for us is not only a savior, he is king. The monarch, not only of this universe, the monarch, he sits alone without any threat whatsoever. There are kings that need people to watch their back just in case there is conspiracy. Lucifer tried it and there was war in heaven. And the Bible says, Michael the archangel, that he judged him and there was no place found for him. Satan, that old serpent, he sits over the circumference of time and manipulates everything according to his will. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it says, for without faith it is impossible to please him. The protocol is that he that cometh unto God, you must come believing that he exists. You are not coming before a politician. You are not coming before a consular of an embassy to give you a visa. You are coming before not only your savior, but the monarch of the universe. When he says, done, believe me, it is done. Kings are not talkatives. It is a system to validate their authority. When you find a king that is a talkative, it means there is a threat to his understanding of power. When they speak, it is by the decree of the king. And the Bible says, where the word of the king is, there is power. I believe in the name of Jesus that in this service tonight, the king will speak over someone's life. Speak over someone's destiny. It was the king that gave the rivers their borders and said, thus far have you come. Do not cross this boundary. And for thousands of years, millions, they have kept in obedience, regardless the rebellion of Satan. When the earth was immersed in water, it was at the decree of the king that the rivers returned back to their place of habitation and gave room for land. This king that we serve is a mighty king. He is God, but he is king. Our confidence is based on the fact that he stands behind us like a mighty, terrible one. Are we blessed? I have come to you tonight, O King of Zion. Give me an encounter. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one whose kingdom there is no end, we worship. Speak to our hearts tonight. Grant us superior wisdom by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Please be seated. They go from strength to strength, as many as appear before the Lord in Zion. When we come week in, week out, we come to encounter strength. We come to encounter the wisdom of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I welcome everyone. This is Koinonia. Thank you so much for the sacrifice of your time, especially for those who have come from far and near. I think I promised last week, I hope I'm right on that, that we're going to recognize and honor our international guests. Did we do that already? I think we did that. Did we do that last week? Anyway, all of our international guests, may God bless you. We thank you for the sacrifice of coming from across the globe. The Lord bless you. We have people coming in literally every week, and we recognize and honor your sacrifices. One thing for sure is you will not come here and go back the same. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let me just honor a few people for sake of protocol. We have our very own father, Bishop Obi Onugbogu. God bless you. God bless you, Daddy. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Who would know and believe that 84 years looks like this? Hallelujah. We covet that grace, Daddy. Sorry for the embarrassment, but we covet that grace. 84 years, standing, strong, tall, serving the purposes of the kingdom. We honor you, sir. We honor you. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. We also have in our midst a dear, wonderful man of God, Reverend Chidi Okorafor. Let's honor him. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Thank you so, so much. Sincerely appreciate you. Thank you. We have Reverend Yusuf Akila. Thank you so much. House on the Rock, just. Thank you. I have my dear friend and brother, Pastor Fred Zamani. God bless you. Thank you so much. I love you. Thank you. And our very own Pastor Petrok Sadiq. God bless you. Hallelujah. Everyone who has come, we honor and we recognize you. The Lord bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Commanding Salvation Over Territories, Part 2. We're looking at a two-part series that seeks to give us understanding on how to command salvation over territories. The week before last, when we considered part one, the sub-theme was the witness of mighty works. I did teach us that results are evangelists. They also preach. That it is not just men that preach. Mighty works are also witnesses across a territory. And that personal results are a mighty tool as far as evangelism and the enthroning of Christ is concerned. That when believers contend to see results in their lives, it is not just for the sake of gratifying the flesh and a sense of progress. That God is interested in your producing results because the evidence that comes from and through your life is able to preach to a territory. Hallelujah. That there is a dimension of the gospel that should not be preached by men. It should be preached by results. Results have a voice. Results have a language that the territory can understand. Are we together now? And that if the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and if believers are barren of results, there is a dimension of kingdom advance that cannot happen at a territorial level. I told us that it matters that a territory gets saved. A territory can be born again, not just individuals. What happens to the human spirit can happen to a territory. Every territory has a soul and it can be saved too. Are we together? But that altar call will not be made just by the speakings of men. It is your results that makes that altar call. And that the dexterity of your result can call a territory to its knees to acknowledge Jesus. I told you that individuals can be saved and yet not be safe. Because the safety of the individuals depends on the salvation of the territory. Are we following now? For a long time, the context of our evangelism has been limited to personal salvations. And that is important. But if we stop there, it is possible for an individual to be saved and a territory is in decadence, and the saved individual becomes a victim of the decadence of the territory. An example was Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot had honor to the God of the Bible, but because he was dwelling amongst a people who were perverse, it took the intervention of the angels to help him and his family. Is that true? Yes. When Isaiah saw the Lord in chapter 6, he made two confessions. Number one, he said, I am a man of unclean lips. Then number two, I dwell amidst the people of unclean lips. So if you are the only one who is saved in your territory, you may be saved as far as your personal salvation is concerned. But the territory, you can be a victim of that territory. Sadly, it is purported that many nations in Africa and the world are corrupt. My question is, are you corrupt as an individual? But you have to answer a corporate name because you are in a territory that has not been saved. So territorial salvation matters to God as much as personal salvation. Can I tell you this? When we do not pay attention to the salvation of a territory, all it takes is one generation of godly men to pass away, and decadence will return and become the order of the day. We have seen this in scripture. We have seen this through church history. That it is possible for Satan to be patient and allow a whole generation of those who call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. When Moses was advocating the exodus of God's people from Egypt, Pharaoh began to make negotiations and he said, we will allow you, but we will keep your children. Moses said, no way, we are all going. The command is for all of us. So just because you are saved does not mean everything is all right. If your territory does not answer to God, you will have to find out what is happening to the schools where your children go to. You will have to find out what happens to you in the hospital. You will have to find out what happens to the police and all the institutions within that territory. A territory can and should be born again. The power and the witness of mighty works. It is on account of this that we sincerely desire to produce results. Results all wise. We are motivated by the understanding that our results are preachers. So it is not just a manifesto of the flesh, a desire to have and to become. It is a desire that in and through our results, that message of the gospel be preached to the territory. Are we together now? And we looked at a few reasons why individuals do not command the kind of results that can preach to a territory. I listed four of them. Let me do a quick recap and we'll get into tonight's teaching. Number one, I said over dependence on the strength of the flesh. You still remember that the reason why we are not able to see the manifested power of God in and through our lives is because there is over dependence on the strength of the flesh. Technology, individuals, philosophies, and the formula of men. Number two, ignorance and disobedience to God's principles. God is a God of systems. And ignorance and disobedience to his principles and his systems will always leave the believer defeated. My people, Hosea lamented, chapter 4 and verse 6, are destroyed. Even though they are my people, they are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Ignorance and disobedience to God's principles. Number three, demonic oppression. The third reason why individuals do not command and produce the kinds of results in and through their lives that bring glory to Jesus is demonic oppression. The Bible is very clear as to the fact that the whole world lies in wickedness. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18, like we considered the week we discussed this, that I would have come to you. Paul was speaking to the church in Thessalonica. He said, but Satan hindered us. Satan does not just hinder men. Satan can hinder things. He can hinder doors from opening. He can hinder helpers from reaching you. It is possible. And then number four, we said the fourth reason why believers do not command results in their lives is that they trivialize and ignore the place of spiritual empowerment. In this kingdom, it takes empowerment to rise and to reign. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, it says to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Our strength is derived from the power of his might. Keep that scripture. Let's look at Amplified. It says to draw your strength from your union, your oneness with him. It says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him. That strength which his boundless might provides. Your oneness with Christ has a spiritual implication. You should be strong in that consciousness. Are we together? The Bible clearly tells us that it is through the greatness of his power, Psalm 66 and verse 3, that the enemies submit themselves. There are wicked spirits across territories, and it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to dislodge them and enthrone Christ. Hallelujah. Commanding salvation over territories. Part one was the witness of mighty works. Let's go to part two now. Commanding salvation over territories. Part two. I want to teach you a very deep mystery tonight. Please open your spirit, your mind. If you understand what I want to teach you tonight, you will command dominion over territories. And I trust God that God will use us in no small way to bring not just individuals but territories to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Commanding salvation over territories. Part two, we're going to be looking at the power of prophetic intercession. Commanding salvation over territories. The power of prophetic intercession. Jeremiah chapter 27 and verse 18. We'll look at three scriptures or four and then I'll begin to read. Please read with me. It's projected. Ready? Read. But if they be prophets, and if the word of the Lord be with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and at Jerusalem go not to Babylon. If it is true that they are prophets, if it is true that the word of the Lord is with them, then they should make intercession to stop what is left from going to Babylon. The power of prophetic intercession. The Bible is very clear as to the fact that there is the ministry of the intercessor. That intercession is a ministry. And that all believers without reservation are called into that ministry. Inasmuch as there are people who are uniquely graced to be intercessors. But that the ministry of intercession, like the work of the evangelist, who named the name of Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 1 to 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 to 4. Please pay attention. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Reading to verse 4. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. That means the quietness and the peace of that territory does not just depend on what happens in the government house. Does not just depend on what happens technologically. That the saints have an assignment in maintaining peace over their territories. In all godliness and honesty. Verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires that all men be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And all this happens through the ministry of intercession. We intercede for all men, for kings, for nobles, for those in authority. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Listen to this and look at it very carefully. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him because of a mystery, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession. It is because he makes intercession that we know salvation can reach to the uttermost. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God, seeing that there is a ministry that he engages in that does not fail, that he makes intercession for them. What is intercession? Intercession is not just mere prayer. What is intercession? The word intercede means to midwife. The word intercede means to become a bridge. Please pay attention. The word intercede means to stand in the gap. Are we together now? Yes. So intercession gives the idea of mediating over a person, over a people, so that the counsel of darkness, spiritually speaking now, does not prevail over their life, and so that the purposes of God find expression over their lives. To intercede means to stand in the gap in prayer over individuals, over families, over cities, over territories, over nations, to the intent that, number one, the purposes and the counsel of darkness be thwarted over those individuals. And number two, the purposes of Christ be enthroned. The assignment of intercession seeks to do two things. Number one, to prohibit the hand of Satan, the plot of darkness over individuals. And then it seeks to release the purposes of God to find expression. You have to understand this. The intercessory ministry has to do with stopping the hand of darkness. Because I hope you know from scripture that the church, being the light of the world, is the principal limitation to the reign of darkness. Is that true? Yes. That the presence of the church is the reason why evil cannot prevail. Intercession, withholding the plot of darkness over individuals, over families, over nations, over territories, and allowing the cause of the kingdom to find expression. Many believers do not understand the place of prophetic intercession in birthing the purposes of God over the lives of individuals and territories. Are we blessed? Ezekiel chapter 22. Let's read from verse 23. Please pay attention to this scripture. Ezekiel 22 from verse 23. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, thou art a land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. 26. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. And have hid their eyes from my Sabbath. And I am profaned among them. Next verse. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey. This is a description of the state of a territory. To shed blood. Are you aware of the latest passion you see in our region over human sacrifices? Does that give you any concern? This is what the Bible is saying. To shed blood and to destroy souls to the intent that they get dishonest gain. 28. And her prophets have dubbed them an untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord has not spoken. 29. The people of the land have used oppression and have exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and the needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. Next verse. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge. That is the spiritual definition of intercession. And stand in the gap before me for what? The land. Not just for the people. That I should not destroy it. But I found the consequence. Next verse. Therefore, I have poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own ways I have recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Can I tell you this? Tragedy awaits any territory. Tragedy awaits any family. Tragedy awaits any people group that ignores the ministry of prophetic intercession. I tell you why darkness seems to prevail over territories unhindered. Because there are Christians, there are prayer warriors, but there are very few intercessors. The selfishness of believers that has come as a result of immaturity and lack of spiritual growth has also translated to their prayer lives. Just because you are praying does not mean you are walking in spiritual accuracy. Are we blessed? There are many examples of intercession in scripture. I'll pick three to help us understand that intercession is a powerful ministry. Number one, let's go to the patriarch, Abraham. The Bible says, look unto Abraham your father and to Sarah that body. So we are looking up to him to study. In Genesis chapter 18, please give us from verse 16. Remember the visitation of the three angels that came to Abraham, having served them. The Bible says, and the men arose. Long reading, be patient. They arose up from tents and looked towards Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. Very quickly, please. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely be a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord might bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken. 20. And the Lord said, listen carefully now, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, will thou also destroy the righteous and the wicked? This is the character of an intercessor. Please go to 23. Are you seeing here that whether Sodom is destroyed or not, it was none of his business. But he reached out to say, look, I do not mean to dishonor you, but are you also going to destroy the righteous and the wicked? Next verse. Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within that city. Will thou also destroy and not spare the place for 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should not be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Look at him engaging intelligence in intercession. And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within that city, what a city, then I will spare all the place for their sake. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which I am but dust and ashes. 28. Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Will thou destroy the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find 45, I will not destroy it. 29. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure, there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. Abraham, is it not enough? Watch an intercessor. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure, there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. You are even tired already. You that is reading the story, you see how you are weary and tired. I say, what are Abraham? Are we together? And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. Abraham was safe. Abraham was fine. Listen to the commendation that God said about Abraham, that as far as you and your children are, I know you will teach them right. Yet, Abraham, hold on here. We want to go and visit a territory. And he said, please, I know that it's not my concern, but intercession has made it my concern. Will you destroy the righteous and the wicked? Example number 2, Jesus. Jesus the intercessor. Luke chapter 22 from verse 31. Luke 22 from verse 31. Remember the story of Simon and Satan coming into him? And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee. I didn't pray for myself. That means Satan would have prevailed, because the spiritual intelligence to immune yourself from his effect, you do not yet have it. But I bridge that gap in prayer, that thy faith fail not. And when you are converted, use this strategy of intercession to also secure your brethren, that while they are still learning the ways of God, Satan will not have advantage of them. That means when you are converted, become an intercessor. And the people you train them to also become intercessors. John 17. Look at the ministry of intercession. Verse 1. Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven Watch Jesus intercede now. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy son, that thy son may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. 3, this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. He says, I have glorified thee in the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. 5, now, O Father, glorify me with thy own self and with the glory that I had with thee from before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me, and they have kept your word. Verse 7. Now they have known all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Verse 8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Verse 9. I pray for them. I pray for them. Jesus the intercessor. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Verse 10. It says, all and all mine are thine, and thine is mine, and I am glorified in them. Watch the prayer of Jesus now. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. And it says, keep through thy own name those that thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. This is why I know the oneness of the body of Christ must come to pass. Because the person who prayed that prayer request was Jesus himself. Regardless the differences you see now, there is something called the unity of faith. Are we together? Romans chapter 8 and verse 34, for sake of time. We're looking at Jesus the intercessor. Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. That even after he resurrected, after his coronation, crowning him Lord, he still today makes intercession for the saints. Third example of intercession in scripture, the early church, Acts chapter 12. I hope you know that the condition for anything to be a doctrine, there is, theologically speaking now, anything is a doctrine if and when it was adumbrated in the Old Testament. Condition number one, it was captured in the life and the experience of Jesus. Number two, and it was practiced in the early church. Number three, any truth and any mystery that does not satisfy that threefold condition cannot be called a doctrine. It must be adumbrated, foreshadowed in the Old Testament. It must be captured in the life, the earth work of Jesus, and it must have been practiced by the early church. Are we together? Acts chapter 12. Let's start our reading from verse 1. Now, about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, too, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it, that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further. Are you seeing what happens when we don't pray? Notice that the spirit of the Antichrist was the one walking through Herod. There were three people who were with Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration. I hope you know there were different classification of the disciples. Is that true? There was the 72. There was the 12. There was the 3. And then there was John the Beloved. All of them had different experiences. There was something the 12 had that the 72 did not have. There was something the 3 saw that the remaining 12 did not see. Satan, knowing this, began to handpick those he will destroy. Peter, James, and John. Remember, the pillars. He destroyed James. They beheaded James, historically speaking. And he saw that it pleased the people. And he went straight to Peter. If he was done with Peter, he would have destroyed John. There was something. Now, you read the gospel and you find out. Read the writings of these three people. James, Peter, John. Aside from the Pauline epistles, you read their exegesis on the truth of God's word. There were mysteries that were given to them. And Satan, knowing this, the spirit of the Antichrist were coming here. The spirits that move across territories. Herod just thought he was being political because it pleased them. He wanted to kill them so that the people would like him. But he did not know he was under the influence over that territory. The Bible says, and because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further. Say, no way. Shout it. Say, no way. Evil will always proceed further when there are no intercessors. Let me tell you this. Satan will come to a family and test something and watch the reaction. If all that he sees is just discussion and carnal analysis, he will proceed further. I tell you, Satan has the ability to proceed further if unhindered. Look at this. He proceeded further to take Peter also. He tested your finances and you kept quiet. You just assumed nothing was wrong. Your health is coming. I assure you, whatever Satan touches in your life and around your environment is not the only thing he wants. He wants everything. But he will touch something first and watch the reaction. If he finds out you are lukewarm and cold and careless, and it does not matter. Everybody in the family just became sick overnight. I'm sure it's just the weather. He's coming again. He will proceed further. The Bible says, then were the days of unleavened bread. Verse 4. And when he had apprehended him, Peter now, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending that after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter would have died. Peter was kept in the prison. Help me read, believers. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. That means everything Satan planned would have happened. But a midwife came in, a prophetic midwife, Parasuda Pakata. This night a grace is coming on someone. That, listen, based on the architecture of Satan, it is like a spiritual room. They have plotted your family already. They have plotted everything. And it's signed already. Time for execution. But they did not factor you in that plan. Hear me. The reason why Job became a victim of what he saw was because there was no intercessor to stand for Job. If there was an intercessor, Satan would be wasting his time. Hear me. The catastrophe did not just touch Job's children because he was an intercessor for them. But no one was an intercessor for him. So when the devil got their intercessor, he got them too. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for your office, for Nigeria, for your family, for your business, for your village. Prayer was made unto God. That means, could it be that it was not the plan of God for James to die? Could it be that their intercessory ministry came late? So that lateness made one person to pay the price. Could it be that John the Baptist was beheaded easily and cheaply because there was no intercessor?
We know that Jesus was preserved because there were two strange intercessors. Simeon, the prophet, and Anna, the prophetess. Otherwise, they would have killed Jesus. Oh. Please sit down. Prayers was made unto God by the church for him. Let's read verse 6, last verse. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door of the prison. Let's finish up and put perspective to it. Verse 7. And behold, at the instance of intercession, the angel of the Lord. Question, where was that angel with James? If we do not understand the principles or the mystery of prophetic intercession, our territory will remain godless. Our territory will remain helpless. Our families will remain bankrupt of the power and the salvation of Jesus Christ. Now, principles of prophetic intercession. Let me teach you the principles of prophetic intercession. In another series, we are going to be dealing deeper, but just to give the foundation. The intercessory ministry is based on two principal foundations. Please listen carefully. The intercessory ministry is based on two principal foundations. Number one, the law of love. The first foundation upon which the intercessory ministry rests is the law of love. Love for God and love for people. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 tells us that God desires that all men be saved. And then when they are saved, that they don't just stop there, but that they grow and mature and come into the knowledge of the truth. So the intercessory ministry is founded on the law of love. You cannot become an intercessor when there is self alive in you. Remember my definition of love, the absence of self. You are walking in love to the degree that there is the absence of self. Why go through the labor of prayer, the labor of fasting, the labor of stretching and discomforting yourself over an issue that is not your business? Can I tell you this? As you will be learning, everything you make happen for someone, you are delivering yourself too from that trouble. That was the mistake of Esther. When Esther had a chance to advocate, she was in the palace. She was already immune. Don't forget, this is the wife of the king. And Mordecai sent a warning to her. He said, if you leave us, God will raise another help for us. But when they are done with us, when they find out you are a Jew too, you will see what will happen to you in that palace. And Esther said, no. She put on her sackcloth and ashes. He said, I'm going to the king, but let us fast and pray. Pray for me so that I can intercede for you too. They were all intercessors for one another. They prayed for her. And she went before the king, violated the ordinance of approaching his presence, and yet he lifted the golden censer because prayer had gone up. If she just stepped in carelessly and casually, that inner chamber, that would have been the last time. What happened to Vashti? At least Vashti was driven away. She would have been killed. You know, those days they kill. They don't forgive. No counseling, no nothing. They kill straight to the point. The law of love. You see, most of what we do as believers that we think is spirituality is just a marketing of flesh. There is such a, let me tell you this. You know you are growing spiritually to the degree to which you and your interest decreases. Where you are burdened with the purposes of the kingdom greater than your personal desires. That was temptation number one. When Satan came to Jesus, temptation number one was your individual appetite. Turn this stone to bread. You are hungry. You need bread. Forget about your assignment and what your father sent to satisfy your hunger. And Jesus said, I've moved past that realm. The agenda of God is bigger than my personal hunger. Are we together now? Many of us, as prayerful as we are, everything centers around us. Not even your family members. Not even your wife, not even your husband. It's none of your business what happens to anybody. Provided I am hot, then I pray. If I am fine, to hell with what is happening in the body. Respectfully speaking, and with all due respect and honor to the body of Christ, even we men of God, we have this spirit. And we have mentored and taught members to walk like that. Whatever is happening to the church is not your business. Provided koinonia is fine. Provided we are growing. Whether a church is being burnt, whether whatever is happening, that's none of your business. We are fine. Do not make the mistake of Esther. You know you are matured spiritually when you can receive the pain that is in the heart of Jesus. So that you find yourself fasting for 3 days over an issue that is entirely not your business. God can trust you with the salvation of many. And say, listen, in this family, in 7 days, all of them are about to die. This is what Satan has programmed. And there is the spirit that brings salvation hovers around the family. There is no intercessor. And it comes to you. Can I trust you for the redemption of this family? And you can wake up in the night. I can't be trusted. Lord, what are we doing? It's none of your business. You just stand. And while you pray, angels come. And you find out that by prophecy, that family should die. Listen, don't fear negative prophecy when there is an intercessor. No, 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 no. No. There are only few prophecies in the Bible that are called written judgments. They can't be changed. A bulk of the things that happen in our lives, it is within the power of the believer to change if you know and understand God's system. Are we together now? So the intercessory ministry is based on two foundations. Let's hurry up. Number one, the law of love. Love for God and love for people. The intercessory ministry is not based on the desire to pray. The intercessory ministry is not based on the desire to be powerful. No. Love is the genuine biblical foundation for the intercessory ministry. Number two, the second foundation for the intercessory ministry is the principle of shared dominion. The second foundation upon which the intercessory ministry sits on is the principle of shared dominion. Psalms 115 and verse 16. Psalms 115 and verse 16. Yeshua, Yeshua, you see, let me tell you this. The church is an advantage. The church is not a disadvantage to civilization. The house of God is where the mysteries of the kingdom are dispensed. It is where high-level spiritual understanding is given to believers. I was glad, he said, when they said unto me, let the house of God is not an interruption to your time. It's an advantage to your destiny. Are we together? Behold, I show you a mystery. Please give me that scripture again. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. In theology, we call this the principle of shared dominion. Now, as you know, the church and the believer has been given dominion, but our dominion is not absolute dominion. Our dominion is derived. Are we together now? That means we depend on what we were given. God's dominion is absolute dominion, but the dominion of the believer is shared dominion. And here's how God created the system. Please watch this. That the heaven of heavens belong to the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. Do you know what that means? That means he placed man, according to Genesis 1, 26 to 28, he gave man dominion over the earth and its entirety. That means if God wants to do anything on earth, and if Satan wants to do anything on earth, both God and Satan must add men to the equation of dominion for anything to happen in the earth. God has the power to veto man, but he has limited himself to honor man by saying, man, as far as the earth is concerned, you must become a factor to reckon with if anything will happen in the earth. Do you know why Satan is powerful? Satan is powerful for as long as there is one unsaved person and one ignorant person. This is where Satan derives his strength. The confidence of Satan is based on the fact that he thinks it will be impossible for everybody on earth to be saved and everybody to come into the fullness of the stature. So he knows, provided there is one available vessel, a legion was in one person. This is Satan's confidence. He's not moved by the fact that many things are happening. He's threatened, but not moved. Because there is still one person he can deceive. There is still one soul he can kill, steal, and destroy from. There is a law called the law of territory. That means you are not allowed to be a legitimate functionary within a territory until you are built with the materials of that territory. Are we together now? You cannot go to heaven. You cannot even enter the realm of the spirit with this body. It has to change. That is why when you are having a visionary experience, it's your spirit that accesses that realm. The physical body remains here. When you dream, it's not your body. The body you see there is just a spirit body. Are we together now? Remember, we can live, but we are not going with this body. Something will happen according to the authority of scripture. When the trumpet sounds, those who are dead in Christ will rise first. Is that true? Go to the grave and see whether their bodies are there. It's decayed already. So another body would be given to them. Bodies incorruptible. And we who are alive and are kept, we will be changed. Are we together now? Yes. The reason why demons, the reason why spirits cannot function legitimately on earth is because they did not descend to the earth with a body. A body was only made for Adam and his generation. Are you seeing that now? If you know this, you will now, well, we have the mystery of deliverance coming, so let me not hurry up. I will be teaching you a deep mystery, why people go to bed and see these spirits come to molest them. I will teach you what they are looking for, because spirits are genderless. There is no male and female spirit. So what is the appearance of that man that comes to you, or that woman that comes to you? There is a mystery and there is an explanation. What are they looking for? But let's limit ourselves to what we are discussing now. Are we learning already? The intercessory ministry is based on two foundations. Number one, the law of love. Number two, the principle of shared dominion. That means when it has to do with happenings in the earth, it is not all up to God and it is not all up to man. There is a participatory role that we have to play. So don't look at the earth and say, if there is a God in heaven, this answers the question that people say, if there is a God of heaven, in heaven, why is there killing and raping and maiming people? I will tell you, that part of the equation came as a result of man's carelessness. Are we together? It is the reason why there are territories today that do not call upon the name of Yeshua, and yet there is dexterity and order within that territory, because they took advantage of the principles of scripture that make for leadership, and they replicated heaven within that territory. The principle of shared dominion. Question: what power does Satan use to destroy man? Who can answer that question? Do you know what power Satan uses? Once have I spoken, twice have you heard, that all power belongs to the Lord. Do you believe that scripture? Where then does Satan get this power? How come he is so powerful? I will tell you. It is not just because he was once a cherub that covereth. It is not just because he deceived one third of the angels. Are we together now? In as much as it is true, you see, one thing with light is that once you have received light, light is like DNA. The memory and the imprint of that light remains with you. This is why, should we talk about this now? Let's see. Now, watch this. If I am a herbalist, God forbid, in the name of Jesus, I'm saying it on air so that you get it clearly because of the times that we live in. Listen carefully. It's just an example. Now, watch this. Let's assume that as a young boy, I was introduced into traditional practice and they opened my eyes using divination. If I get born again, that opening will not close again. Are you getting me now? What happens is just that the agency that sponsors that activity will change, but that advantage remains with you completely. Listen, Satan was once the light bearer. The imprint of that light, you see, even though he's fallen right now, it cannot be undone again, like to brainwash the mysteries. Listen carefully. There are three levels of accessing power. The highest is power through intimacy, relationship. Are we together now? The highest level of spiritual power comes through intimacy. The second level comes by accessing the mysteries of the kingdom. There is a dimension of the power of God invested in mysteries. You don't need a relationship for that to work. All you need is understanding and the faith to engage it. This is the kind of power that is used by herbalists and spiritualists. Those who practice divination, what they are teaching them are things that are largely founded from scripture but empowered by demonic agencies. That's why they fast too. That's why they do all of these things too. Whether you are serving God or Satan, you will still fast. Is that true? Because there is something it can do to you. Remember the prophets of Baal and Elijah. Did you not see a similarity of operations between two of them? And yet one belonged to Baal and one belonged to God. And all of them needed altars. All of them needed sacrifices. All of them needed fire to come down. I hope we're still together this night. Yes. If you do not understand the principle of shared dominion, the devil will take advantage of your life. And you will sit down and believe everything that is happening to you is the will of God. Satan will deceive you into saying, look, if it happens, it's the will of God. Just give thanks. Because you do not understand that the heaven of heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth has he given to the sons. Hezekiah would have said, all right, that's okay. I've heard you. Hezekiah said, no way. I'm not ignorant as a king. He turned to the wall and began to negotiate. The law of love and the principle of shared dominion. Now, for sake of time, very quickly, there there are two basic principles. Listen carefully. There are two basic principles that govern prophetic intercession. Number one, the first principle is you must discern and understand the controlling powers over regions and over territories. You want to become a prophetic intercessor, you must discern and understand the controlling powers over regions and over territories. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 13. Please look up. There are many people who pray and pray amiss. Prophetic intercession is not just prayer request. These are deeper levels of prayer that work with high level spiritual intelligence. This was Daniel. Remember, when the angel came to him, Gabriel now, he was giving him an explanation as to why he came late. He says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. What was the king of Persia fighting? Verse 14. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall who? Thy people. He was not attacking Daniel. He was attacking salvation that was coming to the people through the revelation that will be given to Daniel. And he discerned the prince of Persia. He kept praying. He set himself to fast and pray for 21 days for the answer to come. Can I tell you this? Please look at me. The Bible does not leave the believer in the dark as to the fact that Satan has an organized demonic structure. This is not teaching or glorifying Satan, but it's the truth from Scripture. It was Paul in his Pauline epistle that opened us up to that spiritual stratification of demonic activities to the end that we be enlightened. Are we together now? Most believers are completely ignorant as to the devices of the enemy. And we just wave it and say, no problem. Jesus has died. That's all right. When they teach you in driving schools, why do they talk to you about accidents and other things? Do they plan to kill you? No. But that awareness is important. Is that true? You ask pilots when they train them, they simulate different scenarios of plane crashes so that they build a management system around it. The goal is not for them to crash, but that possibility exists in their entire time. And it is better that they are enlightened. Do not be ignorant, he said, of the devices of the enemy. Satan has devices. And many believers are ignorant. And Satan rides upon our ignorance to begin to cause us a plethora of catastrophes. God is bringing light to us tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. How do you know the controlling powers over territories? Look at me. You study the controlling powers over territories by looking at the prevalent patterns that are within that territory. You can know the spirits that control territories. And please hear me, if you're a minister of the gospel, hear this and learn this. So that when God sent you to a territory, you don't just go and get a building or build and start. You have to understand what you are confronting. There are territories where you don't find old people there. You get to a certain age range, there is a spirit that cuts you off. There are territories where you don't find children. You find very old people, but they renew their lives with children. There are territories where it is the women that feed the men. Once you are within that territory, as a woman, you are the man, and the man is the woman. Born again, tongue talking, but you find out that the men are limited. The house is paid for by the woman. Don't feel bad. I'm not trying to look down on you. But it ought not to be so. That is not God's order. Are we together now? There are families where the parents are always greater than the children. You can give birth to 8 children. The highest of them will become something you are not proud of saying. No matter how hardworking. Have you seen people travel to America after 10, 20 years? They return back like armed robbers. They look like the spirit of the city. There are cities you enter and you can remember everything from when you were a child. Nothing changed. Regardless, and in that city they will tell you the best professor came out from that city. In the best, the IT people come out from that city to bless the world, and yet the city does not change. There are spirits that keep it. Yes, sir. How about spirits of poverty? You hear that someone was doing well and just came to a city and he starts going down until he looks like the city. You want to become an intercessor? Yes. This also applies to families. There are families where things don't work. Please don't. I hope you understand what I'm teaching you now. Yes. Father was educated and serious. Mother was educated and serious. All the children graduates, grandchildren graduates. And yet nobody can have a decent job. The most successful person, the longest person who worked there, worked only 3 years. Go and read your Bible. Now, I hope you understand what I'm teaching you. Now, I'm not trying to get you emotional. If I mention a case that relates to yours, I hope you understand that I'm just teaching generally. Do we understand now? There are families, for instance, where the greatest people who represent the strength of that family always die. The moment someone gets a job with NMPC and he says, glory be to God, he dies. So you find a territory with weak people. All the people that have the strength to bring deliverance, there is a spirit that comes to cut them short. You are not an intercessor if you do not understand the burden of the territory. What are you praying over? You don't just, listen, an intercessor does not say, God, give people jobs. Oh, God, give people children. That's a child's prayer. You come to the root of the problem. The controlling powers. Many years ago, you've heard it in my teachings. Many years ago, I went to preach somewhere in northern Nigeria. It was a crusade. A Cannes crusade, I think, or something of that sort. And through God is my witness, I saw something was happening to the women. Now, I'm not a medical doctor, but every time they gave birth, they became deaf and dumb immediately. Not one, not two, not 8, not 10. I said, I'm not a doctor, but at least I did biology enough to know that this is what is the relationship between giving birth and becoming deaf and dumb. Once you see a prevalent pattern, it is not sickness, it is a spirit. Are we together? There are family members where children of 12 years have high blood pressure. What is the child thinking about? You really think that's a disease? No. 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 Even medical science tells us sometimes they trace certain sicknesses and they'll say, does your father have it? Does your mother have it? In the name of Jesus, let me speak over someone. Any pattern that will not allow your family represent the purposes of God, I call upon the God of my covenant. This night, it leaves your life forever. Please sit down. I have seen patterns of poverty over families. There are territories where the preachers never break through. anointed, they loved God sincerely. Some of the holiest, godliest men. And yet the territory does not open. After 10 years, 40 members, it declines to 30. During Thanksgiving, it goes to 80. And you see the people saying, God, did you send me? If only they understood that there are veils and there are gates over territories. Listen to what I'm telling you. There are controlling powers over territories. There are controlling powers over regions. There are controlling powers over families. Don't you think the devil will just fold his arms and watch you and your children just go like that? There is a Pharaoh that will fight your exodus. It takes spiritual intelligence to define your possibilities. Patterns of bad luck, patterns of ill health, patterns of widespread barrenness. Mother barren, gave birth only after 10 years. Brothers barren, sister barren, is a demonic thing. There are patterns where things that are started never finish. Have you seen those kinds of things? You will see a house, they will tell you they started building this house in 1987. Until now, what is in a house that cannot be built? You will hear that the person who had money and came to build it died there. Have you seen those things? Don't be afraid of what I'm teaching you. It's the truth. You stand upon a territory. Jesus looked over Jerusalem and began to cry. Why was he crying? He saw that there was a spirit that casted blindness on the people. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, he said, if thou had known, even in this thy time, the things that pertain unto your peace, but they are hidden from you. The widow at Nain, there was a pattern that kills all the men in her life. Her husband died. Her only child was about to die. And the intercessor came and said, no, we have to change something here. God is raising many of you right now because there are age-long, some of them centuries-old problems in your area. And your grandfathers tried to do the best. Help them, please. They tried to do the best that they could do. My God, I sense such an anointing. Such an anointing. Such an anointing. Just help those under the anointing. Blow, blow, blow like a mighty wind. Spirit of victory, cover us with your wings. Will you blow, blow, blow like a mighty wind? Blow, blow, blow like a mighty wind. Spirit of victory, cover us with your wings. Blow every sadness. Blow, blow, blow like a mighty wind. Spirit of victory, cover us with your wings. Hear me. There are territories that have patterns where those who work for things never enjoy it. Have you seen that pattern? You labor. There are people who have raised others. There are people in Nigeria. Almost every great name, they participated in their rising. And yet there is nothing for you. It's a spirit. It's a pattern. They sit over territories.
Thank you.
shadakata bakata katos emprete ke parakatos katikata kebrentes keti lakatos katiyada kaparis katiyaha. Just pray in the spirit in 1 minute. Sanakata bakatos koto brente kata kilegs keni matos koto brente katiya. I sought for a man who would stand in the gap that I will not destroy them. Hallelujah. Let me finish because we are going to pray tonight. Worship team, get ready. You will sing that my song for me again. My spirit is fired up. Listen, you have to say enough is enough. If not for your sake, for your children on board. I've gone through the pain already. Let innocent people not go through this again. I've gone through the poverty. I went through the pain of idolatry. I went through the pain of polygamy. I went through the pain of delay. Go through it for their sake. That is the character of an intercessor. Shakata bakatos. Kebrente ketes koto baskatia. Embreketa. Rekete kotos koto tetea. Rebas koto shanakata biyakata. Someone pray. You are engaging the spirit for the sake of those connected to you. Shadakata bakatos emprokotos koto bekete lakata. Listen to me. Hear me. Please listen to me. I'm teaching you the principles of prophetic intercession. There are families where the children will always bring shame to the parents, no matter the investment. It's not that they are bad. They find themselves going to fish trouble and return back with shame. You send them to go for studies, they return with shame, wasting your money and your time. Remember what I taught you. He continued further. If and when unhindered, evil will always continue further. Hear me. Let me tell you this. I made up my mind and I made a covenant with God that everything I've suffered in my life, it ends with me. My children will never, whether spiritual or physical, they will never. This is the character of an intercessor. In 1 minute, I'd like you to pray. Send prayer investments. Let it end with me. Let it end with me. The poverty, the failure, the limitations. Let it end here. Thus far have you come, no further shall you go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Please sit down. Please sit down. Just help those under the anointing. Now hear me please. Don't be distracted. We are praying. I want you right now as you are seated, in 1 minute, study the patterns you have seen in your family. Just think about it honestly. Study the patterns you have seen from the region you come from. There are regions that have the spirit of anger. There are regions that have the spirit of disunity. There are regions that have the spirit of irresponsibility. It's the women that serve the men. There are regions that have, help them please. Habashka nikatosia. Widespread laziness. Oh.
Oh, 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 I can see with the eyes of the Spirit, and I see a mighty army rising. Yes, I know they're rising in the thousands, coming from afar, coming from afar. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 oh. Listen, hear me. Please listen carefully. Listen. It was from Zaria that the Lord sent me here. There is a spirit over that region. You start a walk, it does not last more than 3 years. Something must happen that brings you down. You may still be there, but you never maintain the texture of your glory. There are regions like that. I sought for a man who would stand in the gap. Woe betides a family with no intercessor. Woe betides a business with no intercessor. Don't you think because it's business you don't intercede? Woe betides a ministry that has sounds and mics and has beautiful skilled people but without intercessors. Woe betides a preacher without personal intercessors. No matter how anointed you are, in this end times, if there are no men who can hold on the altar for you, you may not last. I tell you, the evil of the times will eat you up to your shame and surprise. Please sit down. Controlling powers. I've shared with you my vision that I was praying some years ago when the ceiling in my room just disappeared, and I'm seeing this spirit and this being looking at me, looking like Leviathan, looking like a dinosaur with a tail that had its own life. The eyes were big as a human eye. And he said, so you think you can bring God's people into abundance? And I saw that spirit. There are horns that stop the voices of men from rising to the nations. There are many anointed people in this nation. There are many gifted people in many families. But there are spirits sitting on their glory. Number one, please sit. Please sit. Discernment and the understanding of the controlling powers. The primary explanation to territorial backwardness is not the blindness of the people. Human beings are God's creation. They are not that dull. Only God would open your eyes to see the territories assigned over Nigeria. Don't you think Nigeria is just sitting free of attacks? Go and see the powers that reside in the sea, the powers that manipulate the elements of nature. A ministry like this,
You think the devil would just fold his arms and watch? No, sir.
But we look to Yahweh, Yahweh. Our hope is Yahweh, Yahweh. Lord, we look to Yahweh, Yahweh. Forever, Yahweh, Yahweh. Lord, we look to Yahweh, Yahweh.
Our hope is Yahweh, Yahweh.
We look to Yahweh.
Hallelujah. Oh, I didn't see Reverend Vindi Olu. God bless you, sir. Such an honor to have you and your team. Thank you so much. Sincerely celebrate and appreciate you. Listen to me. Let me finish what I'm doing and would dedicate some time. You are not praying this night for yourself. Do you know that in the peace of a territory is your peace? In the peace of your family is your peace. God is birthing spiritual midwives tonight who will hold on the four horns of the altar and cry until something breaks open. So the principle of prophetic intercession, number one, the fortitude to discern the controlling powers. Jesus knew this. When Jesus was going to Gadara, he was not just sleeping, he was resting, but in discernment. The spirits that possessed the Gadarenes, notice that in Gadara, some people were doing well, whereas some people were suffering. It was based on their negotiation with the spirits. Can I tell you, there are controlling powers that sit over cities. You don't do business and prosper until you come to them. You can do a general small business, but you are about to hit a threshold. They will invite you. Come, sit. We don't just rise like that. Ask Jesus. When Jesus was about to start his mission, Satan took him into an exceeding high mountain and showed him the glories of the world and said, all has been given to me. Unfortunately, Jesus is not the only person Satan has taken to that mountain. There are many people. Preachers have gone to that mountain. Businessmen have gone to that mountain, and some did not say no. Can I tell you this? Go and ask any truly successful person who is successful at a global scale. They will tell you that a time must come when envoys who represent the workings of darkness, they invite you to a council. It is based on negotiation, not intelligence, from that level. As a preacher and as a man of God, it's like there is a spiritual meter that measures your impact. You keep rising, provided you are just generally doing your thing. Help that lady. I curse that spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise to a particular point of influence. Here they come to you. Your father tried this. Are you aware? Influence does not just happen because you have what to say. It is victory over controlling powers. The king of Tyre sits upon the economic hub of the earth. How dare you prosper without compromise, without coming to him? This is why Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains and loses? My question, who was the businessman that did business with him, that you gave your soul? There are musicians who were taking up that mountain. They freely gave their soul for fame. Can I tell you this? This she goddess, Babylon, that sits upon the circles of the earth, is interested in everything, including the souls of men. Let me show you a scripture. Revelation 18. We're about to pray. Revelation 18. This is the fall of Babylon. Let's start from verse 1. We'll read from verse 1 to 5, and then we'll go to verse 9 and end with 13. Please pay attention. Everyone, please look and learn. After these things, I saw another angel come out from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. To 5. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become a habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Verse 3. I want you to read this by yourself. Are you ready? One to read. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Who is the her? Babylon. And the merchants of the earth, how did they get rich? Read it. I was rich through the abundance of her delicacies. They did not just prosper. There was a negotiation that happened. Verse 4. I heard another voice in heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues. Go to verse 9. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Verse 10. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, that great city, Babylon, the mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep. Why will they weep? For no man buyeth their merchandise. So why were they buying their merchandise before? It was not because they could buy and sell. There was a spirit that they negotiated with over the territory. Verse 12. Now listen. Let me show you what this system sells. All these things are available for purchase. The controlling powers. I will tell you the assignment of controlling powers. They ensure transgenerational allegiance to Satan. They control everything, the systems and the structures, to make sure you cannot rise by righteousness. You negotiate with them, they give you access. The merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple and silk, scarlet, thyine wood, and all manner of vessels of ivory. These are the things she sells. And all manner of vessels of most precious wood. You know the Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and does what? That means, if Babylon gives you the world, what does she collect? I will show you what she does with those souls. Verse 13. Let's read. Cinnamon, odors, ointments. Hold on. Babylon can give you anointing. She sells it too. You can go and say, I'm tired of ministry not working. Let's negotiate. This territory cannot be that difficult. And she says, I will give you anointing. Frankincense and wine and oil, fine flour and wheat and beast. Now you start reading. Sheep, horses. What else? What does she sell again? Where did she get the souls? The people who came to her for exchange. Babylon has souls. Babylon has slaves. She can give you access to the hearts of men, so that whether you sing anything, no matter how nice it is, a million people can love you in one day. Those souls come from her. It does not just happen, dear people of God. Why does the devil assign these spirits in territories? To make sure no territory is ever saved as a territory. If he tries your individual salvation and it does not work, he can give up. But he's waiting for you at a territorial level. Satan is obsessed with transgenerational allegiance. Your forefathers worshipped him through mediums. Grandfathers worshipped him through mediums. And someone suddenly arises and says, no more. We will rise in your name, Adonai. Hey, you reign on high. We will rise in your name, Adonai. Here comes a generation that says we will not bow to Babylon, and yet we will prosper, yet we will advance. And Satan says, you have drawn the line, here you go. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy ways. It is through the greatness of thy power that thy enemies submit themselves. Can I tell you this? Hear me. When God raised missionaries from Africa, and when he brought missionaries from Europe and from America, they taught us the evangelical dimension of the gospel, but they did not teach us there are retaliations for refusing the allegiance of Satan. So number one, for starters, malaria killed them. We know now that it's not malaria. We know that, isn't it? Oh yes. You don't step into a shrine and just break it, and all you know is just the gospel of salvation. It takes the gospel of the kingdom to walk in dominion. And so many of our fathers and mothers and loved ones innocently said, look, we pledge our allegiance to Jesus. We no longer will worship these idols. But they did not know that your fortification is based on spiritual intelligence. And these spirits came with harsh retaliations. Do you know what? There is a generation now that is returning back. Because they are saying like Gideon, we have not seen this power again. We have tried this church thing. I was a Christian and I did not get a job, they will tell you. I was a Christian and I did not get whatever I wanted. It didn't come by righteousness. Therefore, I am returning back. And you see the speed with which the devil gives them breakthrough. Not every testimony came from God. There are testimonies that are a product of fraternity with Babylon. Satan is making running to him marketable. Those who run to him, he will lavishly restore and give all kinds of things. And you will see a man beat his chest and say, when I was a Christian, I was a poor man, I was miserable as a preacher. Now that I've created alternatives, look at my life. Initially, you will refuse him until you see your children crying, and for 2 years they have not gone to school. Satan comes to you again. Job, will you still hold your integrity? Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He said, all the days of my appointed time, I will wait. Number two, what is the second principle of prophetic intercession? Faith and persistence. You cannot become an effective intercessor if you do not engage with faith and you do not sustain persistence. It takes an appreciable time period to break through the spiritual limitations that hold on to the minds of families and regions and territories and advocate a release for them. Please look up. Even though Moses met God, he did not just go to Egypt and in one night he brought them out. No. Pharaoh is stubborn. He will not let them go. Even God told Moses, he said, even though I've made you a god to Pharaoh, this guy you see is not himself. He will not let you go. It was after 10 plagues. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 15. This is where many intercessors give up. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Not after he had prayed, not after he had believed God. Can I tell you this? Some of you today, the dimension of grace God has brought you was a 25-year prayer of your mother, 30-year prayer of your grandmother. Don't you think intercession just happens in 2 days? You've cried for 3 weeks and you are tired and say, Lord, I've given up. Ask, go and read your Bible and find out how many years Anna the prophetess interceded for Jesus. Why will you need to intercede for Jesus when it's the Father who is sending him down to the earth? From the time she became widowed, she started interceding. Over a period of 60 years, she interceded for the arrival of Jesus. Can I tell you this? Go and read church history. Read about the moves of God, and you will learn that there were people, there were missionaries who did not really have spiritual power per se, but they held on to the horns of the altar and they prayed and prayed and prayed. Weeks became months, months became years, years became decades. Suddenly, the heavens opened, and you will see a young boy in the farm, and fire would fall upon him. Go and read the history of the church in Nigeria. You see, many believers who are not students of history. That's why the secret to the future is in yesterday. Go back and study yesterday. Study the generals. Study those who serve the purposes of God. Men like Archbishop Benson Idahosa, Papa Ayo, and Babalola. You go and read about them. You may not know, but they were prophetic intercessors who prophesied their arrival and prayed. They were not educated, they were not wealthy, but they understood the art of prophetic intercession. Our generation is not praying for anything. We are just praying for cars, houses. Lord, you've given me 5. Add 3 more in my lifetime. And God is saying, look at, you are not long term. You are not kingdom in your perspective. I'm not saying those things are wrong. You've given me 10 houses, add 2. Lord, you've made me the greatest man of God within a city. And God says, why? Mundane desires. An intercessor is obsessed with seeing prophecy birthed. When Anna the prophetess held Jesus, she said, behold, I have seen the consolation of Israel. Do you know how powerful it is when an intercessor sees prophecy birthed in your lifetime? There are many of you here who are parents. Don't weep over your personal failure. Begin to invest over your grandchildren. Lord, grant that in my lifetime I see a prophet that comes from my loins. Grant that in my lifetime I see one who the government will be upon his shoulder. See, these are the kinds of destiny prayers. We need to obtain grace to stop praying this tea and bread. Lord, give me, kill this one and leave me. And you need to go to the horns of the altar and start praying national and territorial prayers. John Knox went on his knees and said, Lord, give me Scotland or I die. Choose one. Take away my life and let it know that I failed, or give me Scotland. Go and read about the revival. Unfortunately, most of those regions today do not appreciate the sacrifices. You see, if you don't teach children history, they will abuse privileges. This is a very honest advice. If God blesses you, don't just give your children money. Teach them the value of sacrifice. Blessing people without teaching them history is what leads to compromises. There are many, many fathers who should teach sons in the gospel the sacrifice that brought the anointing that they are easily and carelessly enjoying. Some of the most lawless people in society are children, because the car was given free. Everything was given free. You can find a man who is a billionaire. Sometimes he can even fly economy, because life has whipped him so much, there's no point to prove. And you will see a lawless child with nothing flying private jet, and his mind is empty and is about to destroy the father's fortune. 2 years after the death of the father, he's gone down. Because there's no wisdom. I have a message. I pray that I will teach it on Father's Day. The concept of inheritance. I will share with you what the Bible calls inheritance. There are five things if you do not give your child, you have failed. Unfortunately, 80% of men have not given that to their children. Most of what we give is not inheritance. Go and look at Abraham and Isaac. He never gave Abraham any material thing. But to all the sons that he had with Hagar and other concubines, he gave them physical things. Giving your child a physical thing is the least way to help them. Sila. And then wait for that series. Father's Day Maranatha. Galatians 6 and verse 9. We're wrapping up. Let us not be weary in well doing. That includes intercession. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't be weary. You've been praying for the salvation of your loved ones for the past 5 years. Could it be that you are just 2 weeks left? Don't give up. Can I tell you? For some reason, experience has shown that mothers are better intercessors or women. I think it's because of the pain of childbirth. There are many people God is using today who it was not their personal desire to be used by God. Mama did not go to school, but she used the power of prayer to rout the head of that child to a prayer meeting. He was on his way somewhere, and the intercession of Mama of many years. And he just said, let me step in and rest. And that was where fire fell on that person. Someone prayed for you to be saved. I hope you are praying for someone else. Intercession. Let me round up by teaching you the blessing of an intercessor. There are three blessings in scripture that follows an intercessor. Number one, intercession is a seed. Please understand this. According to the law of seed time and harvest, every time you engage in the ministry of intercession, it's a seed you are sowing. And based on the integrity of that law, there is a harvest that is coming for you. You ask any serious intercessor, he will tell you, most of the things you pray for others about, you will not need to pray for yourself about it. Job 42 and verse 10. Please give it to us. Job 42 and verse 10. Help those under the anointing. Please read with me. 1, 2, read. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job how many? Listen, you read the beginning of Job's prayer. He was praying for himself, wondering what was going wrong. But Job came to a point where he almost accepted his fate. And he said, do you know what? I'm already a dead man. Let me focus on praying for my friends. At least let them have hope if I am hopeless. And he engaged a mystery. Please keep that scripture there. That God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. God can turn your captivity as you pray for other sinners, as you pray for your family members, mentioning them by name. Every true believer should have a prayer altar. Write the names of people. Would you be that one person that when things are not going wrong, when things are not going right, and they need someone to stand, you are the one they call? They say, listen, I don't know what is happening to my marriage, but can I trust you to pray for me? Rather than gossiping around with people's issues, pray. Rather than making a lot of noise over what is the meaning of this, why is this church going down? Pray. Rather than praying and saying, this man, it's like his business is going down, shame on him. Pray. Job, James 5:13. Is anyone afflicted? Let him pray. I believe in the ministry of intercession sincerely. Let me tell you. You go and ask God. I stand before the God of heaven and I tell you this. More than 80 to 85%, I hope I'm not lying, of my prayer is not for myself. And it's not because I am a man of God and I have a spiritual responsibility. I like to know what is wrong, especially for a family that may not have the spiritual intelligence to handle it. My real anointing works when there is trouble. Yes, sir. Oh, Apostle, it looks like the devil is just... That's all right. Just give me the prayer request. Doesn't mean you go and sleep too. Let me give you a caution. Because sometimes, if you don't balance these teachings, pray for me has also produced a lazy people in the body of Christ. They just give you a prayer request and add a small seed and go and sleep. Don't practice that kind of attitude. It's very bad. There are certain victories that is you and God that will flog it out alone. Are we together? If you are playing football, we can't play the football for you. We can only cheer you. But you are the one who kicks that ball to the goalpost. The blessing of an intercessor. Number one, that intercession is a seed. And every time you intercede, do not allow the devil cheat you and make you believe that you are... Do you know sometimes you will be mandated to pray for people who will never even appreciate you, even when they know you are interceding? Now, from a human standpoint, it is painful. Because if you tell them, I'm praying for you, you are just seeing doors open. They'll say, you are praying for me? Carry your prayer and pray for yourself. And yet God says, continue. That's why I told you the foundation of the intercessory ministry is love. Number two, very quickly, what is the second blessing of an intercessor? Access to the secrets of God over territories and over people. The blessing of an intercessor is that by reason of your opening your heart to intercede, God can trust you with the secrets of territories and the secrets of destinies. God can open your eyes and tell you something about a man of God, about a church, about a people that no other person, not even the person he's talking about, may know. You have earned his trust by reason of being an intercessor. He can trust you with the pain of people because he knows that you will pray for them. Genesis 18. 17 and 18. Let's hurry up. Genesis 18, 17 and 18. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and a mighty nation, and that all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. Are you seeing the key now? I know that whatever I do for him is for the sake of others, so I can trust him. There are many people today who pray for the spirit of revelation. Lord, grant me access to illumination. Lord, open me up to the prophetic. And you know, many times when people come and tell me, Apostle, what is the secret to the prophetic? I tell them it's love, not power. Can God open you up to the details of a family, especially when it is negative? Can God trust you with the secrets of men and you pray for them? This is our generation that our mouth does not close. Can God show you the weaknesses and the limitations of people and trust you to pray for them? Can God show you the limitations of a nation, of a politician, of governments, of families? If God opens your eyes and you see the spirit that sits upon the destinies of a particular family, can you pray for them as instructed and yet be quiet? There are some of you, God trusted you with the secrets of men. He opened up to you in dreams and showed you things to pray for about men, about ministries, about politicians, and you ran your mouth up and down. And God said, no more. Let's withdraw that grace for the safety of that person. You are a Christian, but you have not earned the right to be trusted. Can God trust you? It's a message I preached years ago. Please go and look for it. It's an audio message. Some of these audio messages, will do the video versions of them. Powerful message. Can God trust you? God loves everybody, but he does not trust everybody. He gave unto one 5 talents and 2 and 1 as a measure of his trust for them. Can a ministry come to you and say, we are struggling financially? Man of God, we are struggling. Forget that the smiling is just by faith. But as it is now, our rent is expired. Shame is imminent. And you can say, my brother, know that there is a shoulder that is praying with you. Can I tell you this? There are many people wounded in the body of Christ today. The reason why many people do not open up over their pain is because there are no true intercessors. Prayer partners have stabbed one another in the back. They share prayer requests. It's like my grandmother is a witch, and I'm hearing and they are writing. And the next time they are seeing it on the internet, they are seeing it everywhere. Pastors are preaching the pain of people and all of these things. And they do it in a way that the people know this is them. And God says, no, with all that grace for the safety of the person. Can I give you a secret? You must pray that God will make you a trustworthy person. That's why those who have the mysteries of the kingdom are called custodians. A custodian is a caretaker. It is not yours, but you have earned the trust of God. Stewards of the mysteries, he says. There are things God has shown me about people, ministries, politicians, several people. Every time God reveals to me the secrets of the destinies of men or territories, it is a trust. And I take it with every sense of responsibility. Can I tell you, I have counseled so many people who have been betrayed and backstabbed by people that they trusted. Oh, 3 of our children, one is a smoker, the other one is not doing well. Can we agree? And the next thing, that becomes a subject of pain. That's why many people box their problems now and cry alone to God. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. They will break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. The secrets of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenants. When I started with God, there were times, aside from my encounter with Jesus, this is a true story. I don't talk too much about my experiences because I want people to build their faith on the integrity of Scripture. Because sometimes younger ministers just imitate and copy everything without knowing which one is a doctrine and which one is a personalized dealing. But I remember when I would have encounters like the Shekinah glory of God, literally like a mist will come. You know how a fog is. That is how it will fill my room. And I would lie down and my Bible, God is my witness, will physically open to pages that I did not open with my own hands. Till today, that experience still happens to me. I can close my Bible and sleep. There is no fan anywhere. And yet I wake up in the middle of the night. I know that the Holy Spirit wants me to study there. This is how some of these messages come. But can God trust you? The sheer level of pride that has wrapped up men of God, can he trust you with these experiences? Access to the secrets of God over territories and over people. Number 3. And that does it for tonight. What is the blessing of an intercessor? Authority and power over the assigned territory. Let me tell you this. One of the blessings you receive as an intercessor is aside the authority you have as a believer, God is able to trust you with authority and power over the territory that the burden of intercession came to you over. I can tell you this. There is a mystery called the decree of the watchers. Not just the decree of men. It is a decree of the watchers. Daniel chapter 4. From verse 16 and 17. There is the decree of the believer. But there is the decree of the watcher. There is a throne in heaven that backs you. Authority. You speak over that assigned territory. And every force and everything will come into alignment. Let his heart be changed from a man's. Remember the judgment of Nebuchadnezzar. Let a beast's heart be given to him. Unless seven times over him. 17. This matter is by the decree of the watchers. And the demand by the word of the holy ones. And they made that decree. It was not just God that judged Nebuchadnezzar. There were watchmen. There were men and women who had authority over that region. And they said, your evil is enough. And they cursed him. And heaven backed it to this intent. That the living may know that the Most High ruleth over the kingdom of men. And giveth it to whomsoever he will. And setteth up over it the basest of men. You know a true intercessor by the territorial power and authority they command. There were many, many other people in the days of Elijah. But watch Elijah the intercessor. There shall be no rain for a period of 3.5 years. If it was in our arrogant generation, a group of people would come and say, don't mind Elijah. Is he the only one? Let's pray. You think someone did not pray and say, Lord, let rain come. It was as if he was the only man. After 3.5 years, let me tell you how rain came. Rain did not just come by him saying, rain come. He did exactly what closed the heavens. The Bible says he bent over and prayed and lifted his head. Did it again. And he said, I see the sign like the fist of a man's hand. Saddle your ass and run. I hear in my spirit the sound of the abundance of rain. Intercessors are men of power in the spirit. Don't mind their weakness physically. Intercessors are powerful. They can literally shift the spiritual climate of their assigned territories. One intercessor who steps into a territory with understanding. When I went to preach for Archbishop Duncan Williams, I had an opportunity to go to their prayer mountain where they are building as a platform to intercede for the nations. And when I got there, I had the opportunity to teach and pray with his major personal intercessors. My goodness, you think you can pray? You meet those guys. Believe me when I tell you. No. When those guys, you will know that those guys were, that's their life, oh. Intercessors. They are just giving the burden over nations. God can say, now Congo, all they need to do is to drop the prayer request in the middle of them. And they will pieces it like you are slicing fish. You will just hear that someone is dying. Someone else is rising. There is a control room in the spirit. Can I tell you this? Ladies and gentlemen, Nigeria is not as bad as it is. It's a reflection of the absence of strategic intercessors. You want to command salvation over territories? Let's start with Abuja. Start with your region. Raise men and women by the Spirit who understand prayer. Not blind prayer of dissipating energy that does not produce results. That's not intercession. Strategic prayer with understanding. bring forth your strong reason, saith the Lord. Shanakatoskiata, over this territory, you write the names of your family members one by one, and you wake up every night, you are praying, Lord salvation, Lord healing, Lord restoration, Lord deliverance. He spake a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Can I tell you this? There are certain levels of power and grace I have seen in my life. It did not come by asking directly. It came as a product of standing in the place of prayer for people. There are covenants that I have with God today that came at the instance of certain levels of intercession. There are things God will never tell you in the open. You will have to become an intercessor. Pastors, pray for your members. Don't just speak over them. Can I tell you, Koinonia, hear me? You are spiritual people. Go and ask God the decree to which I pray for you. Don't think my preaching here is the end of the ministry. What you see me do on the pulpit is only 30% of my ministry to you. My real assignment to you and my real ministry to you, aside from teaching you the word of God, is to pray. While you are sleeping, know that there is somebody awake for your sake, praying and crying unto God. Don't think I'm a politician doing some manifesto here. Lord, touch my people. Lord, change their lives. Sometimes you send me text messages and I don't reply you. Don't be angry. Just because I did not reply you, it does not mean I did not pray about it. There are times I just drop the phone there because I can't reply everything. And I lie down before my maker and I say, Lord, you sent me. Let these people not have shame and reproach. When I sit down here and hear certain testimonies, praise the Lord, this one just happened. I just sit quietly as if I don't know anything about it. But make no mistakes. Ladies and gentlemen, this man, you see, by the privilege of God's grace, and I do not say it to boast, if you have never believed that anybody prays for you, believe it today. Believe it today. Believe it today. Believe it today. That is why, you see, as a man of God, when you have time for everything, it's a sign that something is wrong with your ministry. Are we together? Yes. Everything, you have time to go for every occasion. You are at wedding in the morning, birthday in the afternoon, some Thanksgiving in the evening. What? Prayer is not something that you do in a rush. There are times that it takes 2 hours to just say thank you. Thank you. 2 hours. Thank you, Jesus. And you are there lying down. And an atmosphere of worship like this. Your eyes sleepy, but you remember that you love the people you are sent to. Can I tell you this? A good shepherd lays down his life. God will not trust you with members just because you want it. It must show in your heart. I speak respectfully to servants of God listening. Forget about all this wanting people to just give you seed. You announce your birthday 1 year in advance. Settle down and do what God called you to do. The members are not stupid. When God blesses them through you, they know what to do to you. Can I tell you this? Demanding money from members is wrong. Like to say, come and give me money. That's not your assignment. They didn't call you. You bless them and pray for them. And let God direct them and they will surprise you. Members are not greedy. Just do your work. Go and ask him. I don't just love Koinonia. I love you. You are Koinonia. Only God will tell you the amount of prayer, sacrifice, and preparation. I just returned from Lagos. You know, some of us at 1 o'clock, I was standing on a pulpit and preaching. You see that? These are the sacrifices of an intercessor. I leave this place probably 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. by tomorrow morning. Because after service, that's only part one of all of this. Listen, when you see what God is doing with people, don't just claim anointings. Do you have the compassion to go that far? This is what the younger generation needs to learn. Just claim anointings up and down. No. Commanding salvation over territories. For as long as we're in this city, God has sent us in partnership with other vessels across this city to lift our hands and say, Satan, it's no longer business as usual. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words. God has sent us to these cities to tear down ancient gates. Gates that have kept men of God down. Gates that have kept families down. This is the FCT. So we stand upon this control room and we speak. Rise up on your feet. Our time is gone, but lend me 2 or 3 minutes. We are going to pray and intercede. Number one, we will intercede for the church in Abuja and the church in Nigeria. Doesn't matter the denomination. That the purposes of God will be established and the counsel of darkness will be far from our habitation. Prayer point number two, we are going to pray for every family represented here. I'd like you to pray that because you are here, every onslaught of darkness against every family to bring shame and reproach, we come by the decree of the watchers that it must be overturned. And number three, you are going to pray for Nigeria, our nation. We are going to cry to the God of heaven and say, Lord, you are always ahead of time. Go ahead of us. Bring salvation to this nation. Is someone ready to pray? Lift your voice in 1 minute and begin to pray. Pray. Is this how you are praying? Online. We pray for the church in Abuja. Every church that names the name of Christ, we intercede in the name of Jesus. New levels, grace for salvation, signs and wonders, fire upon every altar in the mighty and marvelous name of Jesus. Pray the works of darkness to destroy the purposes of God, the works of darkness to destroy any man of God, the works of darkness to destroy any work to discourage the faith of believers. We curse it in the name of Jesus. Pray for every assembly. Lord, let there be salvation. Soul winning at another level. Soul winning at another dimension. Pray, Lord, bring increase to every church. Bring fire to every church. Bring revival to every church. Signs and wonders. The church in Abuja, we declare, you are light, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. We decree and we prophesy. All of the 6 local governments in Abuja, the church is there represented, exploited by the Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Now pray for every family. Begin with your family members. Pray for your children. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your siblings. Cry to the God of heaven. Arise, O God, like the mighty God that you are. Wipe the tears of God's people. Wipe the tears of families. Let shame and reproach, let Ichabod no longer be their testimony. Turn again the captivity of Zion like the streams of the Negev. Finally, pray for Nigeria. Go ahead and pray. Pray for the presidency. Pray for our members of Senate. Pray for the House members. Pray for the captains of industry. Pray for the teachers, the lecturers. Pray for our colleges, our universities. Pray for our hospitals. Pray for the military, the police, the paramilitary. Lord, there must be peace in this nation. If someone prayed, we decree we give him no rest till you establish Jerusalem as a praise. Shalakata branda gete ghost. Demons of bloodshed, we curse you. Demons of ritual killing, we curse you. Spirits of terrorism, there is no place for you in our border. We pray for Christians. We pray for Muslims. We pray for everyone who is upon our soil. Lord, we pray there must be peace. We pray there must be advancement in the name of Jesus. Everyone who names the name of Christ, let there be peace. From the presidency, wisdom. Our parliamentarians, wisdom. Businessmen, wisdom. Captains of industry, when men say there is a casting down, for you it will be that there is a lifting up. We drive the coronavirus out of our territory. We lend our voices with the medical personnel. We prophesy peace. No pandemic will cross our borders and come to destroy us. We make this decree, the decree of the watchers, established in heaven. The spirit of untimely death, we curse you by the God of heaven. Our roads are safe. The airwaves are safe. Two more minutes. You are interceding. If you do not know what to pray for as you ought to, pray in the spirit. We lend our voices to pray. We declare an end to the works of darkness. We declare an end. We dethrone every other name. We dethrone every other counsel. In the name of Jesus, we frustrate the tokens of liars. We turn diviners mad. They will not perform their enterprise. In the name of Jesus. Kalabaratos kotobra deketeba la kosobia. Ashanata baratos kadabra deketos. Depros ketele krete kotos kotobra kadabalaba. Every family rising by the Spirit. Every family excelling by the Spirit. Every family coming into the experiential knowledge of Jesus Christ. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. Let the mantle of the intercessor, the grace for prayer and supplication, may it come upon you tonight. Every laziness in your prayer life, whatever has fought your prayer life, that you do not know how to hold on to the four horns of the altar and change things spiritually, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare fresh fire upon your altar. And hear me, whatever has continued because your intercessory ministry was absent, I stand by the grace of God and we bring an end to it now. Hear me. Please, I want you to leave this meeting tonight knowing that at the very least, you are the intercessor for your family. Start there. The dynamics of interceding for territories. There are higher and deeper levels of spiritual intelligence. There is a series on that and I will teach you. But you can start with your family. He said, destroy it not, for there is a blessing in it. Destroy it not. When you leave this place, you can use this night, use tomorrow, and pray. Lock yourself. Collect the prayer request from your family members. Send them a text and say, please forward me your prayer request. Put them before the God of your salvation and begin to engage the mysteries of the kingdom. Pray. God reveals to you something about your pastor, about what he wants to do in the church. Put it down. Pray. And you watch what begins to happen when a people pray. In the name of Jesus Christ. And I decree and declare that as you commit to the ministry of intercession, let the harvest of your intercession come to you. Number two, let the intercessory ministry open you up to deep realms of mysteries in the spirit. And number three, let the ministry of the intercessor multiply your authority and the power of God at work in your life. You will speak over your family and heaven will stamp it. You will speak over regions and territories and it will be so. Even by the decree of the watchers. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. And I agree with you, whatever burden you came here with. Every service is a miracle service. There might be an official season, but every service, once there is faith and hunger, it is a miracle service. Therefore, I agree with you that everything you came here trusting God for, I release my faith with you. May it become your testimony this moment. In the name of Jesus Christ, please, you are here and you are saying, Apostle, now I realize it is a risk being without Jesus. Please, no movement. It is, we must mature and grow. Do not walk around when an altar call is being 5 or 2 more minutes does not stop you from going where you are going. Please, as much as possible. When an altar call is being made, it's a time to respect it. Nobody would force you, but it's a discipline. We must grow spiritually. An altar call does not take more than 2 minutes and we're done. Many of you will go out and yet it's not home you are going to. There is a spirit that tries to drive you. 2 minutes added to your time does not take you. Run away from that culture. Except it is necessary. Please don't do that. When an altar call comes, we must be matured. Are we together? There are people here who are saying, Apostle, I need Jesus this night and I need him sincerely. Others are saying, Apostle, I love Jesus with all my heart, but for some reason my life has gone haywire. I need restoration. I'm going to call on these two groups of people and I want you to please run. It's my joy and my honor there is a champion in the making. Some of you, you are coming in, and this, your salvation, will culminate to the blessing of your family. I will count 1 to 5. Run and come and stand here. Young and old. 1. Celebrate them as they come.
Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control. Wherever you may lead me, I will go. And I have made a choice to listen for your voice. Wherever you may lead, I will go.
Keep coming. One more time.
He's the shepherd of my soul. I give you full control. Wherever you